Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our multi-county listening area in central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, here together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hello, Paul.
Well, hello, Susan. And considering the subject of today's show, happy holidays to you. December starts the countdown to Christmas, which means lights, candles, and all kinds of celebrations bursting forth this time of the year.
They are bursting forth, and we are also bursting with money here at KHOI. We have a $25,000 matching grant, and we have gone a long way to meet that. We're still just lacking $8,000. So, all you listeners who may have heard this before, we're going to keep it up until we match our grant, because we really can't let that money go. So if you are not a member, we would love to have you become a member, because we also have a membership drive, and we're looking for 50 new members, and we're just a little short of that. So we'd love to have you call in with the basic $55 membership. And if you have been listening long enough to really want to see us continue, we'd appreciate a $100 membership, or even the $21 a month supporter membership, $250 a year.
Yeah, I hope people get on the line and call in and join our happy family here, because we are a community station dependent on support from those who love to listen.
That's right. That's right. We don't get any tax money, except the deductions that you can claim when you send us a gift. But we really have such satisfaction knowing that we can be here to serve you. And we've been trying to demonstrate that as much as we could over the last 4 years since we've been on the air. And Paul and I in particular want to reach out to our broader listening area outside Ames, and that's what we're going to be doing today when we talk to about the Christmas celebrations that are starting just right around us in Story County.
Well, now, things are going on all around us, and you were mentioning that Webster City got a jump on festivities last week. What was that about?
Oh, well, it was called Christmas in the City, and it was similar to the ones that we'll be hearing about today. Each one has its own special quality, and you, I know, are going to be really having fun talking about the first one, which is the Story City Festival, and we'll be talking with Abby Huff at the Story City Greater Chamber Connection.
That's right. Yes, Abby is the head person over at the Chamber, and they are coordinating all the wonderful events and Christmas celebrations in Story City. So, Story City got started last weekend, as a matter of fact, with the Christmas tree lighting and the annual chili soup supper at the fire station.
Yeah, just a minute. I think Abby may be on the phone to tell us about that. Abby, are you here?
I am.
Hello, Abby. How are you?
Good
morning. Good morning. You might clue us in on some of the things happening up at Story City with respect to Christmas. I know last weekend was the Christmas tree lighting, because I was there singing carols and helping kids light candles in the wind. That was a real challenge. You might tell us about some of the things happening, things that have already transpired, and also things coming up.
Yeah. Well, Story City, we always kick off what we call Yule Fest with the lighting of our Yule Fest tree, which sits right in the middle of our Broad Street, which is our main street here in Story City. And we count down, and Mayor Jensen flips the switch, and we light it for the season. And then the fire station did a chili and soup supper, and Santa came and visited the children. And so that kicked it off. And then the next day on Saturday, we, small community, we really love to support our local retail and businesses. So we took part in the Shop Small So what that is American Express started this in 2010, and it's just a way to draw awareness to your local merchants. And Story City has some great, unique shops, and it's a perfect time to patronize them and buy your Christmas and Yule Fest gift locally. So we helped out with that. And then we also did Yule Fest Day for Kids, which is one of our favorite things to do all year long. We invite children to come, Kiwanis. We think we're starting a new Kiwanis chapter here in Story City. They served the children a pancake breakfast. We did a craft with them. We made a little fish, and then they got the opportunity to watch Finding Dory. So that kind of kicked everything off, but we are definitely not done yet. This weekend is going to be really fun and really busy. First thing is the Tour of Homes, which is put on by, we have two local Quester chapters here in Story City, and one of our PEO chapters. They put this together for us. You can visit three homes on Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 4. And also our local museum, the Bertha Bartlett, will be open, and they'll be having a holiday-themed quilt show. So we definitely encourage people to get out and see those homes that have been decorated for the holiday. And
yeah, well, that's one of the things that's fun for me in learning about the different festivals, is that even though you'd think they were all, we'd all be pretty much the same thing, they all have trees and cookies, but each one has something that's special, that is like yours has got the tree in this. When you say the square, you mean the middle of the street, right?
The intersection. Yeah, we don't have a square like a lot of Iowa communities. But another interesting thing is the Tour of Homes. And every year, three families volunteer to come forward to outfit their house in a Christmas theme. Each one has a theme. And when you walk in there, you put on these little booties, you know, so you don't stain the carpet. And everybody walks through their house and takes a look at all the meticulous things that have gone on to decorate the home and the theme. And it's just a beautiful thing for people to share that with the community. And I'm sure everyone leaves those tours with an idea about what they're going to do next year to decorate their house. It's a Tour of Homes, right, Abby?
Yes.
And you're going to be on that Tour of Homes. You're going to walk through, right? We all are.
Yes, everybody should do it and definitely take part.
Well, I've always enjoyed going to tours of homes because I get to see the insides of houses that I've been curious about.
And people are so creative. And like I said, each house has a theme. And so whatever happens in that house sort of coordinates with that theme. And you're greeted with, well, you can also go to the museum up there for the hot chocolate and all that sort of thing. So that's included in the Tour of Homes, right, Abby?
Yes, correct. Yep.
So you go to the museum too. And
yeah,
I really like
yeah.
that. I like that Saturday morning thing with the Kiwanis Club and all the kids, because they are involved in crafts in the hope that their parents will be downtown shopping and
exactly.
spending money in Story City. Exactly. Is that the secret motive, Abby?
Yes.
Get the parents out to the store.
We'll watch the children. You go shop.
And that coincides with last Saturday, which I think was Small Business Shopping Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that coordinates beautifully with the state and national movements to promote small business. And Story City is somewhat unique in that all our storefronts are pretty much full. And we have some interesting antique shops and different themes. And, of course, there's a heavy Norwegian influence, right, Abby? There's a
Correct.
Few Norwegians up there.
So correct.
You can buy rose mailing things and all kinds of other things and all kinds of traditional Norwegian foods, too. So
yeah, yeah. You know, we've got a local shop here that is strictly Scandinavian themed, and anything that you could want, that she's got some great chocolate.
Oh no, that's
that I recommend people. You know, if you need a holiday snack for a party or something like that, stop in and grab some. This weekend, our Emmanuel Lutheran Church is doing their Christmas tea and bazaar on Saturday from 11 to 2. So they'll have soups and breads and desserts and Scandinavian treats and hot chocolate.
No, the main thing here is these wonderful festive things like kringla and ring cake. Is that the right term, Abby, the ring cake?
I don't know.
Hard to describe, a ring cake. We do have ring cakes and all the other things that are Norwegian and festive and Christmassy. So that can be had, I'm sure, at Emmanuel Lutheran Church on.
Yes.
Do you know the times for that, Abby?
And also, St. Petri is also on Saturday from 9 to noon. They're having their cookie walk, which will also have some.
Yes, we had. That's my church, and everyone was baking cookies. And so that happens on Saturday also.
Yeah. A lot going on this weekend.
Do
some touring through homes and getting some great meals and some great snacks.
Well, I was looking at the Story City Herald, and on the front page there was an article that I didn't quite understand. It said, the headline, now this is front page, Bethany's Main Street opens December 1st. And I did read the article, and I sort of figured, is that at Bethany Manor? Is it another place? And what's that about?
Well, Bethany Manor has recently gone through a renovation. It's been a little over a year of renovation. And what they've done is they have divided into different homes. So residents live in different kind of sections of Bethany Manor that they call homes. And they will be opening, so renovations will be officially done. And they'll be opening their kind of main street is what they're calling it. And it's just there's different things when you come to visit that you can sit in, have lunch. They have a great cafe out there now. And they have, you know, a beauty shop and, you know, they're just saying that everything is now open and you don't have to deal with renovations anymore.
Yeah, well, it's a very unique project. In fact, you know, we're used to nursing homes being facilities very similar to hospitals with a long hallway and the hospital rooms arrayed along that hallway. And here, the building has been sectioned off into neighborhoods, much more homey and friendly and warm. And there's even a bistro there. She mentioned, you know, you can go in there and have coffee and various things. There's a chef. So I'm looking forward to getting very sick and old as soon as I can. Bethany Manor is such a nice place. But that's what that refers to. It's an opening of all these facilities after a lengthy remodeling project that spanned more than a year, I believe. Right, Abby?
I don't know really the timeline.
It's about a year, I think.
I know it's been over a year.
I'm assuming that you occasionally visit somebody at Bethany Manor, Paul, so you might know about the pets.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that I know is characteristic and really important.
Yeah, that's called the Eden concept, where animals roam around cats and dogs, and there's all kinds of data that proves that when you pet an animal, your blood pressure goes down. You're feeling better. There's just some therapeutic stuff going on when you have a pet or an animal in your proximity. So they use that to help with the residents there at Bethany Manor. And I've seen those nice, gentle animals prowling around the hallways looking for someone to pet them. And so I oblige whenever possible. You got to pet a dog. I mean, if you didn't pet a dog, you wouldn't be a human being, would you? And that's what happens at Bethany Manor, along with a lot of other things. And now, Abby, you want to mention, too, and we have a guest on a little later, tell us about the children's show up there. What do you know about that?
It's Judge Story, which is our local theater company here in Story City. They're going to be doing a Sousified Christmas Carol. So it's, you know, the Christmas Carol with Dr. Seuss characters. And that is also this weekend. So I'm telling you, if you're saying there's nothing to do this weekend, you're mistaken, because there is definitely a lot to do. So they're this weekend, December 2nd and 3rd at 7, and December 4th at 2, and that's out at Harvest E Free Church.
That's on the east side of the city. Not right off the interstate exit, almost. It's E Free Church.
Yeah.
And there's productions. There are 7 o'clock Friday, 7 o'clock Saturday night, then a matinee, 2 o'clock on Sunday at the E Free Church, the Sousified, what's it called?
Sousified Christmas Carol.
Yeah, thank you for filling in the blank. It sounds really intriguing, and also I know it's going to be a good production because I myself am a member of Jed Story Theatrical Troupe, and I've been in their shows, and community theater is a great tradition, and especially at Christmas time because we involve the children in the show, and we're going to have a guest on to describe what's going on with that production very soon. Anything else you need to have highlighted for you, Abby?
Yes. Well, we at the chamber here, we've got one more thing going on that we've planned for us. And that's not this weekend, but it's next weekend, Saturday morning from 9 to noon. We are going to be doing a free gift wrapping. And so if you're one of those people who hate to wrap, aren't good at it, you can bring in your gifts to us. And, you know, it's completely free. You can give a Goodwill donation if you want to. That Goodwill donation will go 100% of it will go to Loaves and Fishes, our local food pantry.
Well, I tell you what, I love to wrap and I'm bad at it. So this is a terrible combination. I'd better stop by there myself. And so all those proceeds go to the food pantry, Loaves and Fishes in Story City. And that's a fine organization, too. So in any small town right now in this day and age, with all the Christmas celebrations and things that are going on, it's just a little slice of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. It's Bedford Falls, everybody, Bedford Falls, as our friend Jimmy Stewart would say. Well, thank you very much, Abby.
Yeah,
and
no problem.
We're looking forward to what's happening in Story City. And good luck with all that, and Merry, Merry Christmas, and Happy Holidays to you.
You also.
Thank you very much, Abby. We've been talking with Abby Huff. She's the executive director of Story City Greater Chamber Connection. And there's one special event that hasn't been discussed at length yet. We have a second guest to tell us about that. And full disclosure, Scott Johnson, our guest now, is my pastor at my church. But he's not here in that role. Scott, welcome to our show this morning. And tell us about, he's a star. He's an actor in the show. So, Scott, you tell us about this great production coming up at Story City this weekend.
Well, thanks, Paul. It's good to be here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm part of the Judge Story Theatrical Troupe this weekend, and we're doing the Sousified Christmas Carol.
Sousified Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great show, and we've got a lot of great kids as part of the cast, and I get to play a little bit out of character where I am actually the Scrooge.
Yes, I am.
So one of the great things about community theater is you get to step into roles that you wouldn't necessarily occupy in your regular life. So I get to be the Bah Humbug guy this weekend.
I've always wanted to play Scrooge. And then you have two beautiful young daughters. They're in the cast, too.
I do, yes. Ainsley's 9 and Alana is 8. And, they're both part of the cast. And it's a one-act play, so it's not a terribly long production. So it's certainly the sort of thing where if you're looking for something to enjoy with your family, even younger kids would be good for this show because there's lots of colors, there's lots of vibrant sets and props, and it's only about a 40 to 45 minute show tops, and so you're not looking at a 2-hour investment of your time where
kids
are going to get bored.
See the show,
yes, exactly.
Come home and make their regular bedtime.
Yes, absolutely. We'd love to have people of all ages for the show.
Is there music in the show, too?
There's not this year. You know, last year our production was the best Christmas pageant ever, and that one is a little different because it does revolve around a Christmas pageant. This one is not musical. It's Seussical.
Well, you know, that's too bad in a way because Scott has this great tenor voice. He's a good singer. And I thought, well, gee, there must be an employment for that marvelous talent. But this is a regular play.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me how this Dr. Seuss thing is intertwined in this theme.
Well, there's the play sets up with two narrators beginning talking about Christmas and the wonderful things that we all love to look forward to, and Christmas cookies, the mall, and that sort of thing. And then they mention Charles Dickens, the most Christmassy character on earth is how the play goes. And then they say, though Dickens is an acquired taste, essentially, and so they talk about how they have shortened the Christmas Carol story and made it a little bit different. But the funny thing is, of course, they insist all along this play is not Susie, even though as they go, there's a Binka bird goose, and it's cooked in zoot-fruited juices.
How could you say that without messing up?
And that's not even my line. That's Bob Cratchit's line, and it took him some time to get where he could say it without stumbling on it. But we've looked at costumes, and we've used a lot of color in those, and the funny thing is the whole thing is in rhyming couplets as well. So
oh, really?
your characters all along, it's a very Dr. Seuss feel to it as well. Oh. And so it's been, you know, we last night before rehearsal we were doing some trivia questions, and the kids didn't realize how long it's been since The Grinch Stole Christmas was actually published. It was published in 1957.
Really?
So some of these kids, they're, and that's not part of the play necessarily, but it certainly shows that Seuss was familiar with Christmas, and they draw back to that in terms of how this play came to be, and the kids are beginning to realize that this is something that even their grandparents grew up as children loving, that Grinch Stole Christmas story. So the kids are beginning to realize this is a little bigger than just their generation. It's kind of fun to see it happen.
Well, you know, I've never heard of this production. We've all seen The Greatest Christmas Pageant Ever, which is a great production and a great show. But this is new, so I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
It's a Seussified Christmas Carol.
Yep.
And actually, the directors are a faculty member at Roland Story,
yep,
and an actual high school student, Grant Braun.
Yeah, Tammy Dickinson Farrell's an English teacher and language arts teacher at Roland Story High. And, yeah, Grant Braun is a student, and I believe he's going into theater once he graduates from high school. So
yeah,
they're having fun.
I've always watched him grow up and very comfortable on stage, and he's in his element, and it's nice that he's a co-director.
Yep.
As a high school junior, I think. So that's just fantastic. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, Scott, thanks for stopping by and
driving
down to Ames. And also, we want to thank Abby Huff. Now, Scott is a member of the cast of A Seussified Christmas Carol, performed at Judge Story's Theatrical Troupe this weekend, Friday, December 2nd, and Saturday the 3rd at 7 p.m. Sunday, the matinee is at 2 p.m. at Harvest Evangelical Free Church. That's at 524 River Hills Drive in Story City. And after this break, we'll come back with another zany seasonal play, so stay tuned for that. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames.
Santa Billy Boogie Santa's getting ready. Santa Billy Boogie Santa's getting ready. Santa Billy Boogie Santa's getting ready. All night long. I put on my coat and go for a ride. Take a look at me before we go outside. I put on my long red underwear. I brush my teeth and I oil my hair. Baby, I'm gone. Let's get out of here. You can ride along, 'cause Santa's got no fear. Brag a little, go to my head. Ain't nobody looking better in red. Baby, let's go. Kiss the past goodbye. You don't need no dough, 'cause Santa owns the sky. Santa.
that's a little different kind of Christmas music. And now we're coming to another different kind of Christmas play. It's time to shine our light on another holiday production, this one from the Ankeny Community Theater. We have Kent Whitmore, director of The Very Merry Christmas Carol Holiday Adventure Show, to tell us about it. And incidentally, Scrooge is a star in that, too.
My name is Kent Whitmore, and I'm the director of the Christmas play at the Ankeny Community Theater, and it's titled A Very Merry Xmas Carol Holiday Adventure Show.
That's a real mouthful.
Yes.
Do you call it anything for short?
Well, we call it the Xmas Show. We've done that.
As I recall from reading the little summary of the plot, Xmas is the villain.
Yes, Xmas is the villain in our story. It's a spirit that is against all things Christmas and all things green and red, or anything that has to do with Christmas.
And how does this spirit attempt to successfully do this?
Okay, the spirit takes the familiar Christmas stories of Ebenezer Scrooge, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and all of those loved Christmas stories, and messes up the plot, destroys the message of those Christmas stories.
The feel-good parts of the story.
Yes, yes. Any Christmas story that makes us feel good, the Xmas attempts to cancel out.
How do they know he's doing this?
Well, they hear a rumbling and there's a flashing in the stories, and the next thing you know, the story has been distorted. For one thing, Scrooge, instead of being visited just by Jacob Marley, is visited by the ghost of Bob Marley.
So it's very current.
Yes, yes, they keep it current, up to date. And I've told people that as I was reading the plot, the script, it kind of reminds me of one of the old fractured fairy tales from the old Bullwinkle and Rocky show. And it's also kind of a mixture of that and a Saturday Night Live skit. There's a lot of it's not bad adult humor, but there is some adult humor mixed in with some family-friendly plots.
Well, one of the things that this made me think of, I have been thinking about what you do about the many people who feel depressed around this season. And I wonder, is this to counter depression with laughter?
Yes, it would. It would make there's a lot of laughter and a lot of funny moments. And that's basically because of the stories being not the way we normally think of them. Their plots are, they're changed to a point where they're humorous. There's not a sad or depressing turn of events, but it's more of a humorous one. Things happen that are unexpected, which make us laugh and kind of catch us by surprise. And there's a lot of that in the show.
Well, I noticed from looking through the cast list that you have a lot of characters to work with, including the big Christmas tree. Do you have just those three stories, or do you have some others that sneak in there somewhere?
Yeah, there are some others that sneak in. There's this. There's referred to the Ma in her kerchief and Pa in his cap from the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. We have sugar plums that are involved in the story. There is worker elves who are disoriented because their leader has been affected by the Xmas. And there is the five golden rings are mentioned. Yeah, what happens is Scrooge has been, by the wise old tree, he has been assigned to be the hero of Christmas, the one to solve this mess up. And Frosty is his assistant or leader. And Frosty takes Scrooge through all of the different stories that have been affected. And then in addition to those two, Rudolph has been assigned. But Rudolph is timid and needs to learn to be overcome the past of the not being included in the reindeer games. And these two have accepted Rudolph in their own way, of course. Frosty as a sidekick, and Scrooge continues to look at Rudolph as a reindeer dinner, perhaps. And during this whole time, they're all working together to defeat Xmas and to bring the stories that have been affected back to where they belong.
Well, this sounds like it's a clever idea, but it sounds like it'd be pretty challenging to script this. How did you find the play?
The play was referred to us through our play selection committee at the theater. And I think what a lot of them enjoyed about it was something that is family-oriented. It's something that's got a lot of humor in it, a lot of contemporary referrals to it. And the basic idea, like I mentioned earlier, is it's kind of a fractured fairy tale that is being brought back to where it needs to be for the holiday. It needs to be what we're familiar with to kind of help us, you know, cope with Christmas and those stories that are familiar that we enjoy hearing every year. And I think that was one of the main attractions to it.
How did you decide to become the director? Have you directed other plays?
Yeah, this is my third show that I've directed at the Ankeny Community Theater. First one I directed was a holiday story. It was called Finders Creepers, and it took place at Halloween. And then the second one I did was Uh-Oh, Here Comes Christmas, which is a sequel to the play All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And it had a lot of traditions at Christmas that were featured in different vignettes. I like the holiday season, especially after Labor Day and before St. Patrick's. That's one of my favorite seasons, all of those that are involved. But Christmas, I really enjoy that because there's so much we can do with it. Last year, we did a show about regifting and how that takes place in people's lives and how that can be enjoyable or confusing. And then this year, the stories, the fairy tales, I guess we could call them, of Christmas, how they've been, you know, traditions. And like we watch them on TV every year. We watch a play every year that we really enjoy. And that's the thing that really intrigues me about it is tradition and then maybe a little twist here and there that makes them more memorable to us. That was what intrigued me, or when I thought about directing, they came to me and asked about it. And the title alone interested me. And then once I became familiar with the plot, it was all the more of an interest and enjoyable.
Well, it's really a requirement for a real holiday story is that there is a moving surprise.
Yes, that's right.
So we'll have to wait and see what that is.
Yes.
This will be running for how long?
It runs for 3 weekends, the first 3 weekends in December. We open this Friday night, December 2nd, and we run the next 3 weekends, ending on Sunday, December 18th. Friday evening at 7:30, Saturday evening at 7:30, and then Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock.
At the Ankeny Community Theater, and where is that located?
It's located at 1932 Southwest 3rd Street, just north of John Deere's plant.
Okay.
In Ankeny. And our website is ankenycommunitytheater.com, and they can get more information on that if they would like.
Yes, and they can get tickets online, is that right?
Yes. They can, midwesttix.com, and that's on our Ankeny Community Theater website.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, you've just heard from Kent Whitmore from the Ankeny Community Theater telling us about the Very Merry Xmas Carol Holiday Adventure Show. That was good. Susan, go ahead.
This is KHOI Community Radio with our holiday preview of celebrations from towns in our listening area in central Iowa. Year-round, we feature the people, places, and events that enrich life here. This is one of the purposes of KHOI and one of the reasons we urge you to become members to keep our signal on the air. During the 4 years we've been on the air, we've developed relationships with theaters, both the community theaters who've given you previews this morning, and with local musicians and musical groups. One of those we are proudest of is the Central Iowa Symphony. Thanks to volunteer Eric Weber, thanks to the work of volunteer Eric Weber, we record their concerts live for broadcast. Our next guest, Alan Hansen, will tell you about their winter concert, Austrian Holidays, which will take place Saturday, December 3rd at 7:30 at the Ames City Auditorium. To shift from the humorous previews of the plays we've been listening to, we'd like to play just a little from the first movement of Johannes Brahms' Symphony No. 1.
Well, you just heard a short selection from Brahms' First Symphony, featured in next Saturday's concert at the Central Iowa Symphony, Austrian Holidays. And we have cellist Alan Hansen with us in the studio to tell us a little more about the concert. So welcome, Alan.
Yeah, it's good to be here this morning.
Sorry to get you up so early in the morning, but tell us about this concert coming up this week.
Well, if we were to, since we just heard a little bit of the Brahms, that's the big work on the program. That symphony is about 40, 45 minutes long. And the opening of that symphony is kind of belies some of the lighter and more cheerful nature of other parts of that symphony. It does start out with that really heavy, weighty introduction to the first movement, which just covers the entire frequency range of the orchestra, really.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, it's just heavy and driving. But then, you know, we go into, that's the introduction, but it doesn't last that long. And then we're into buoyant material. However, it's still in minor until the very end of that movement, which ends in major. But then the second movement, which is that's the slow movement, has really, which one is that one? That one is, it's more introspective. A lovely violin solo toward the end of that movement just kind of carries you into a more, almost, you know, like meditation. The third movement, there's this lovely clarinet solo right at the outset, and it's unique in that it's a five-bar phrase, and it's in the key of A flat, and then we end up in B major, which is A flat and B major are they're minor third apart, but you know, one's a flat key, one's a sharp key, and so it's a little bit of a chore, you know, making sure we keep that all in tune.
So now, these folks in the symphony, first of all, how many folks in the orchestra and where do they come from?
Well, it varies. If we're, doing the typical holiday concert, we wouldn't necessarily have quite as big an orchestra as we have this time. The Brahms it's a big work, and we've got two bassoons and a contrabassoon. Mm-hmm. And, the full complement of strings, of course, and a lot of horns, a lot of full brass. So, we're probably looking at around 60.
Really?
For the large orchestra. But, there's probably been times when we've been, closer to 45.
And the musicians who were involved, these are people who volunteer to be part of the symphony, is that right?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, there are a few key positions where the musicians receive a bit of an honorarium. But, for the most part, it is a volunteer orchestra.
And so these folks are people who are very gifted musicians, who are experienced, and they have other jobs they do, other day jobs, and are some of the music teachers or band directors or...
Or lawyers.
So these are people who have had a history.
And, my stand partner, Amy Andriotti, she's a university professor. Her specialty is genetics.
So look how varied the people are.
Sure.
In terms of their vocation, and yet they've had this musical background and they want to stay in touch with that part of their life.
Right. And then there are some professional musicians in the orchestra. And, both either current or former members of Des Moines Symphony, we have some of those. I used to play in Des Moines Symphony. I used to be principal bassist of Des Moines Symphony. Now I'm principal cellist. But Donita McCoy still plays in Des Moines Symphony. Don Seaburns, who comes up from Des Moines, he recently retired from Des Moines Symphony, but he played there for years. Speaking of out-of-towners, we have quite a few. Our Dan Crum, our timpanist, comes from Urbandale. Janet Baldwin, who's a bassoonist, comes up from Pella. Maggie Glasscock comes from Maxwell. Amelia and Ruth Fiscus, there's this family of musicians, and two of them are playing in the orchestra right now. Usually it's three, but their older sister is... she's about to have a baby, and so she sat this one out. But they come down from Radcliffe, and we have a new violinist this year. Ben Henson shares my last name, but not related. He comes over from Boone.
So these people come together. They keep their musicianship at par, and they are willing to come together and spend all the time in rehearsal and in performance. And this is pretty demanding music, isn't it? Something that really has to have competent people playing.
Well, sure. But, while I love Eric's programming, our conductor, Eric McIntyre, sometimes the programming is more difficult than others. This one is, I suppose, even though I've talked about the Brahms probably more than anything so far, it's the more difficult work on the program. It's monumental. But... Yeah, this is a fun program. We have these waltzes and the Radetzky March, and you can just feel yourself kind of being transported back about 100, 150 years to pre horseless carriage, mm-hmm. Vienna, in ball gowns and in the dead of winter in holiday concerts. We're not playing anything like Frosty the Snowman or Sleigh Ride this year. It's all very serious music, but it's fun music. It's dance music, and it is holiday music. And it all has Brahms was German, but he spent most of his professional life in Vienna. So there's the Viennese connection there. Everything on the program has a Viennese connection.
Well, Vienna was so important in terms of music and the people who were there, both as composers and artists, and I'm sure musicianship was excellent. And so Vienna, it was like Florence for art.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just sort of a mecca, for that era. And so many things come into your mind. You see all the nobility and people dressed to the nines filing into these concert halls and the musicians and all the gas lights going and everything. And it just calls up all these images in your mind that are also very identified with the holiday season. And so these are selections that are good, but you're not going to see stock things you expect to hear at Christmas at this concert. It's going to be something that enlarges your awareness of holiday music.
Yes, this is kind of the high end of holiday music. Nothing wrong with the pops stuff. I love playing the pops programs. But this is this is special.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's going to be fun. And how long have we been in rehearsal for this show?
Oh, we've had, five rehearsals. And we'll have our dress rehearsal on Saturday and then the concert.
So that's going to come up at the Ames City Auditorium. Remind us the time and everything.
I believe that one is Saturday night, isn't it?
Saturday night. It better be Saturday night.
Well,
well, it's correct in the script, but I don't.
It is Saturday night, and it's at 7:30.
7:30 Saturday night
at City Ames Auditorium.
City Auditorium.
That's right.
And we're going to have Brahms and mention a few other things for everybody, so they remind them what selections will be played.
We have a lovely little piece called Andachtsjodler, which is a hymn in the form of a yodel, and
really?
it's a traditional tune that Professor McIntyre has arranged for our brass section. And so, you know, this is lovely brass choir presentation of this, you know, this hymn in the form of a yodel. Now, not yodeling in this, you know, in the form that you might see down in Branson, Missouri, but you know, in that sort of alpine fashion, we have the Kaiser Waltz, which was written by Johann Strauss the first, and he wrote it for a presentation of the Austrian Emperor as a toast of friendship to the German Kaiser. And originally it was entitled Hand in Hand.
Really?
Yes, but
Strauss, Hand in Hand with the Kaiser.
Right? Yes.
Okay.
But Strauss's publisher convinced him to change the title to the Kaiser Waltz or the Emperor Waltz, because it could refer to either one of these rulers.
Well, I assume there are a lot of program notes included for the folks who come to the performance, so they understand a lot of these interesting tie-ins that you have with all the history of the music and the purposes that were written for, and all the things that come into making those things come to be as a piece of music and art. So, Faye, thanks for being here today, for explaining that. Once again, the concert is going to be Saturday, 7:30, at the Ames City Auditorium, the Central Iowa Symphony.
And children get in free.
Children get in free.
Yeah.
I'm gonna shave very closely and come in on my knees, see if I can do that.
You better color that hair.
Thanks for bringing some culture this morning.
Sure.
Well, yes, thank you. And if you are new to this program, we're going to end our little reminder that we are still in our membership drive by inviting you to become a first-time member if you haven't ever donated before, because we're trying to get a goal of 50 new first-time members, and we are still at least 10, maybe close to 20, shy of that. So why should you join our family of member supporters? Well, if you're listening, you presumably would like to hear us again, and we have to have quite a bit of support from our members. We don't get any tax money. We don't get support like other public radio stations, and we have very limited. We have underwriters, but no advertising. And if you're one of the, if we're one of the stations you listen to every day, or if you're, we're your favorite among all the stations you listen to, or if you listen and haven't made that first pledge, just let me describe how easy it is. You can phone 515-292-2878, and you can give us a credit card on, and or you can go online if that's an option for you, and go to khoifm.org and press the donate button, or you can just come in for 10 Douglas and visit us and get to know us, and or you can send a check to that address. That's for 10 Douglas, Ames 50010. And our research shows that thousands of people listen every day, yet they have not yet made their first contribution. perhaps that's because they don't know how listener-supporter members, how listener-supporter membership works. If you feel good knowing that you will feel good knowing you've done the right thing if you do support us, and you will feel different after your pledge, better, involved, not like a bystander anymore, more like an owner. So pledge $55, $100, or $250, whatever number is right for you. The most important thing is that you make the call, 515-292-2878. And one of the reasons that this is important is because we support the communities you live in. And as I said earlier, we're supporting the communities in central Iowa, around Story City, around in Story County. And we've talked quite a bit about Story City, but we also would like to mention what's happening in Nevada. In Nevada, we have no theater, but they do have the Nevada Village Christmas. Will be held on Friday, December 2nd from 5 to 8 in downtown Nevada. Santa and Mrs. Claus will arrive at 5:45 p.m. and then light the tree in front of the State Bank and Trust at 6. The Nevada High School Choir will be downtown caroling. The Chamber will be holding their annual cookie parade at Gatherings Petite from 5 to 8 p.m. Plan to join the fun. Gypsy Alley will be holding Make and Takes on Friday, December 2nd. Gift wrapping will also be available. Queen Anne Bed and Breakfast will be hosting a royal tea on Saturday, December 3rd from 2 to 4. There is a cost for that event. And on the stage of the Talent Factory, Sandy Clark and Friends will open the holiday music season on Saturday, December 3rd. Regulars will be holding their Christmas show on Friday, December 9th. And on the following week, and on December 10th, Big Joe Kinzer Band will perform. All of these will be 7 p.m. And that's at the Talent Factory in Nevada. For those with different musical tastes, Gospel Jam will be held on Friday, December 9th, from 7 to 9:30 at the Nevada Senior Center.
Very good, Susan. It's been a great show today, a lot of fun to sort of take sort of a tour of the surrounding area, Christmas events coming up. And be sure and call in and give us your pledge and become a member here at KHOI. If you love and respect and find interesting all the material that we do on the air here, please support us by calling this radio station and making a pledge or going to khoifm.org. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in central Iowa. We've been your hosts, Paul Wearson and Susan Franson. This week, we featured the holiday celebrations and performances in central Story County. We started out the show with Abby Huff, director of the Story City Greater Chamber of Connection, and Scott Johnson, who was a cast member of the Judge Story Theatrical Troupe's production. Kent Whitmore from the Ankeny Community Theater gave us a preview of their Christmas comedy. And Ellen Henson told us about the Central Iowa Symphony's winter concert, Austrian Holidays, Saturday at the Ames City Auditorium, 7:30.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. And you can like us on Facebook and get updates on all our show postings in your news feed.
Local Talk was engineered by Greta Anderson. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was
Santa Billy Baby from the CD, Redneck Christmas, right? And the selection from the first movement of the Brahms Symphony No. 1.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. And if you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions and memberships are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and
see you again
on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.
Support for KHOI comes from Stevens Auditorium, presenting the Nutcracker Ballet on Saturday, December 10th and Sunday, December 11th. More information can be found at center.iastate.com.